Today's Shi'ur is Masech Debei Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches on the Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Lo'yoyma Adam L'Tava, a person may not tell a butcher, Shkoli B'Dinner Basar, give me a dinner worth of meat. And of course the reason is, because as we've been learning, we're now Mecha Chamemka, doing business on Yontif is Asur, and that's why the Mishnah says doing this in any way that represents Mekach Memkar is Asur. Avashoychet, what a butcher may do is shech the animal and give everybody a portion of the animal, and then afterwards be able to determine after Yontif how much is owed to him. So the Rosh Yosef explains that when the Mishnah says that Layoyim El Adam Shkoli, it means that you're not allowed to mention business. But of course, in terms of weighing the meat, the Mishnah, of course, holds that you're not allowed to weigh meat. And what it means, shkoli, I sort of covered in the Sanal, also explains, it means that I should be able, shkol not in the way shkol means weighing, but rather shkol here means in terms of taking. So we learned that you're allowed to shecht an animal and divide up the portions of the animal, and now the Gemara tries to understand Hechi Ovid, exactly how could that be done? Says the Gemara, Kahada Basura Amri, like in Surah, they used to tell the butcher, give me a tarta, give me a palga tarta. These are different cuts and sizes of meats. Narish Amri, in the city of Narish, they would say Chalka or Palga Chalka. Pambadisa, the way they would express themselves, was Uzio, Palga Uzio. Benahar Pekoi, they used to express themselves, were Masip Aser Amri, River or Palga River. So these were all different ways of expressing themselves. And as long as you're not speaking the value of the meat, it's fine. And the Rosh Yosef says that even though when you tell the butcher, I want a certain cut of meat, and that certain cut of meat is typically given at a certain weight that the butcher knows, as long as you don't mention the weight to the butcher, it's fine. Says the Mishnah, I'm Adam L'Chaveri, a person could, a customer could tell a seller, Mali Kliza, fill up please for me this pitcher with oil or wine, even though the pitcher has a size to it. Avlebemida. What may not be done, as the Gemara explains, that you're not allowed to speak about measurements. Rav Yehuda holds imhaya klisha mida, if it's a measuring cup, even though you're not mentioning a measurement, the halach is loyim lana, you're not allowed to use a measuring cup. So many Mefarshim ask the question that why is this Mishnah specifically here in Masechta Yuma? This is a halacha that applies on Shabbos as well. So the Bnei Yeshua says, because we've been learning in the Mishnayos in our Perek about how you could register on an animal and how you cannot register on an animal, so the Mishnah continues that this halacha, how to get something from a measuring cup on Yontif. The Tzlach explains that even though we've been particularly lenient in certain areas in Hilchos Yontif, that we would think that therefore in this way we also could be lenient, teaches us our Mishnah that we may not be lenient to the degree that using, according to the measuring cup, or certainly to speak about measuring on Yontif. So as much as our Mishnah is teaching us that we're not allowed to measure, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach tells us that if something is in the category of a medida shel mitzvah, then it's not considered measuring measuring that's awesome. And he explains in the Sefer Shulchan Shloimeh that the issue here that we discuss, and this again may be a wonderful explanation why this Mishnah is mentioned particularly here, is because the concern is mekach u'memkar. Anything when you do measuring that looks like Mekka Chamemkar, Chazal, as we've been learning it, we're very strict with Mekka Chamemkar. But when it's a Medida Shal Mitzvah, then it's not considered in that category. And that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman Paskin, that one can use a thermometer on Yontif. Of course, one may not use an electric or a digital thermometer on Yontif, but measuring one's temperature, even if the individual is not a Chayel Shesh Biskona, just measuring the person's temperature is considered a Medida Shel Mitzvah, and one may measure the temperature. And Rav Shlomo Zalman also points out that when you're measuring somebody's temperature, it doesn't involve any cooking, because the mercury that is in the thermometer, on the old-fashioned thermometers, that is not cooked, because it's never considered cooking until something comes up to the degree of Yad Tzoledes. And hopefully never is someone's temperature above 120 degrees, so we never could come to a situation of cooking. Says the Mishnah, he was very careful. He had a store, and whatever he sold, he prepared in various size jugs from before Yontif. Not only did he do so on Yontif, that he shouldn't have a problem of using something with a measuring cup on Yontif, but he used to do that even what he sold on Chol HaMoed. Spnei Berurei Midas. And as the Miri explains, once the Mishnah is teaching us that he did this on Chol HaMoed, that he prepared himself on Chol HaMoed this way, it's obviously not connected to the issue of Mekka Chamemkar, because the issue of Mekka Chamemkar is not an issue on Chol HaMoed. Rather, because he was very busy on Chol HaMoed, learning or other things, so as we're going to be discussing in our Gemara, there's a concern of Berurei Midas. When somebody sells wine, so when you pour the wine into the pitcher, there's a foam that forms on the top of the cup. And if unless you wait until it subsides and fill it up, you're not giving the customer as much as he's supposed to get. And by oil, the same thing. It takes time for the oil to run out of the pitcher from where you're pouring it because it sticks to the walls. And Chum, in fact, said that not only on Chol HaMoed, where he was busy because he spent a good part of the Chol HaMoed learning Torah, so he didn't have time to spend filling up and making sure that everybody got what he needed, but even during the week, say the Chumim, this is what he used to do, Neberur Emidus. He's very careful that he didn't want to cheat anybody with what they were buying from him. And therefore, not only in Chol HaMoed, where he was busy, and of course he did it this way, but even during the year, we wanted to make sure that he wanted everybody to have what they were deserving. He prepared it from before he sold it, that everybody should get exactly what they needed. Says the one, my avaloi b'mida. What is it meant when Rabbi Yehuda made a statement, when it said in the Mishnah, avaloi b'mida? Amar Yehuda v'Shmuel, avaloi b'kli ha'myuchel l'mida. You're not allowed to use a measuring cup. However, a kli ha'oymid l'mida, that means, as Rashi explains, it is a measuring cup, but it was never used for that purpose. Yemlenu, the Tanakhama holds that such a cup, even though it can be used for measuring, but since it was never used for that purpose, Tanakhama holds it may be used. And then says the Gemara, V'as Rabbi Yehuda l'meima, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Afila b'kli ha'omid l'mida, as long as it's a measuring cup, even though it was never actually used as a measuring cup, but the fact that it is a measuring cup is already enough of a reason, lo yamalenu, the one may not use such a measuring cup on Yontif. Alma, says the Gemara, based on the way we just interpreted the machloikis in our Mishnah, when it comes to a situation of Simchas Yontif, we're selling these products, or we're providing these products to customers, so they should have a Simchas Yontif. So from our Mishnah, it's clear that Yehuda is L'chomer Yehuda, is the stricter opinion, and that's why he says that even something that's used as a measuring cup, even though it was never used for measuring cup, that it may not be used, And Rabbanan are more makel, as long as it was never used for measuring cup, the Rabbanan will allow it to be used. So the question is, if we learn the Gemara Pashup Shat, says the Shita Mekubetzes, it seems that the entire discussion here is only regarding Yontif. And the discussion here is, how far do we apply the concept of Simchas Yontif? But in Shabbos, we would never be lenient. But actually, if you look into the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, they say whatever the Gemara, whatever the Psak is going to be regarding Yontif, the same Allah will apply to Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, but we've seen, we've seen that the opinions are just the opposite. The Tanan, the Mishnah we learned earlier on Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph, says when it comes to measure meat that's being provided in Yontif, if the butcher wants to know how much meat he gave to this customer, so of course, as we learned, we may not use a scale, but you could take a keli in your one hand and figure out how much it weighs. We have to be very strict and we can't do any type of measuring, even with a shinoi. Alma, so from that Mishnah we see just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda is lakula and Rabbanan lakula, chumra. So ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, we have a kasha to how to reconcile the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. In one place we find that he's more lenient, and in our Mishnah we find that he's more stringent. And kasha, the Rabbanan are the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan and our Mishnah are more lenient, and in the previous Mishnah they were more machmer. So someone explained that the machlokes of Yehuda is that the reason measuring is asur on Yontif is because of mekach or memker. We don't want any measuring to take place, and therefore the Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Rabban's opinion is that the isur is ovdan dechol. So if that's the perspective, so Rabbi Yehuda is always going to take it from perspective, what is Mekach HaMemkar? And if it looks like, if it's Mekach HaMemkar, it's Osir. But if it's Ovdin D'chol, he's not that strict about Ovdin D'chol. And Rabbanan are concerned about Ovdin D'chol, but not as much about Mekach HaMemkar. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Loikasha. Hasam, when you were using the Kli or the Kupitz, so as we explained, people don't use Kalim to do measuring. Shaina made the Amida. And therefore, especially if we take the consideration that we just learned, since Rabbi Yehuda says we always have to look at it from the perspective of Mekach HaMemkar, when you use something which is never used in a business setting, there is no concern of Mekach HaMemkar. Hacher, but here we are using a measuring cup. The only thing is that this is a measuring cup that was never used for that purpose. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says it's a concern of Mekach HaMemkar. The Rabbanan, Amil Kasha, and the way to reconcile the opinion of the Rabbanan, Hasam Ka'avid of the Dechol. The concern is of the Dechol. So when we take and weigh the piece of meat, even though we didn't weigh the piece of meat in the way meat is typically weighed, it's still an of the Dechol. Hacha, whereas if you take a keli that was never used for that purpose, like ka'oven avdan d'chol, and that's why they're more lenient in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes and gives, Rava gives a different interpretation and what the Mishnah said, avaloi b'midah. Ma avaloi b'midah, shalo yiskloi shem midah. When you buy the meat, or you buy whatever you're buying in our Mishnah, never mention the weight of what you're looking to buy. Aval, but to use a measuring cup, just you didn't say that I want this much, you didn't mention a measure, is fine. And according to Rava, Vasra Yehuda Lemeimer, so according to this version, Rabbi Yehuda will allow that something that was that's meant to be used as a measuring cup, but was never used as a measuring cup, Rabbi Yehuda will be lenient. He's only not going to allow you to use a cup that was used for a measuring cup. Why does Rava not accept Shmuel's explanation of our Mishnah? Because he says our Mishnah didn't speak about measuring cups. Our Mishnah was focused on Adam l'chaveroi. So it seems that the Tanakhama is just focused not on your cup, that should make a difference if it's a cup that was used for measuring previously or wasn't used for measuring. According to Rava, look at the words of the Mishnah. And the words in the Mishnah seem to indicate that the focus is the way you express yourself. And according to Rabban, as long as you don't express yourself by mentioning a measure, then we could be more lenient. So ask the Gemara again the same question. Alma, so from our Mishnah it seems that when we're speaking about Simchas Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda's a Lechumra, and Rabbanan al Kula, and ask the Gemara, but Ha'av Cheshmina, and the Mishnah Daf Cheshes, we see just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda am Yishakal Adon Basu Keneged Kli, or Keneged HaKupitz, V'cham Oimrim, Emeshgichim B'knaf comes Naim Kalikku, we're not allowed to do any type of measuring. So we see from that Mishnah, Alma Rabbi Yehuda Lekula, Rabbanan Lechumra, and therefore ask the Gemara, Kash Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kash Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Lekasha. Hosam, Klisha and Miuchel Amida. There, we're using something which is not typically used for measuring. You don't use an axe for measuring. Hacha, whereas our Mishnah is talking Miuchel Amida. The only thing it is used, we're talking about a measuring cup, and that's why we have to be stricter. Rabbanan, Rabbanan. And again, the explanation we mentioned before is still the same explanation. Rabbi Yehuda's concern is for Mekach u'Memkar. And if you're going to use a measuring cup, that's certainly Mekach u'Memkar. And that's why we have to be concerned. The Rabbanan like Kasha. And as we explained, the Rabbanan's focus is Uvda D'chol. The Rabbanan Nam Kasha. Hasim Ka'avit Uvda D'chol. In the previous Mishnah, when you're weighing it, even though you're not weighing it in the normal fashion, it's still Uvda D'chol. Here, when you're just using the cup, you're not speaking about measures and weights in any way. Like ka'avid kavdim d'chol. Da'avdi inshi, because it's common, says the Gemara, the mavkri chamir, when they give people to drink, b'mana d'kil of a shasu. Sometimes people use measuring cup for drinking. And since they use the measuring cup for drinking, it isn't in any way of the d'chol by using such a cup. And we learned in the Mishnah, that he used to prepare all of the pitchers before Yontif. Says the Gemara, even on Chalamayid he would do so. Why? Tana Apamayid Asakain, that even Chalamayid, where business is permitted, he still would do so. Nebitl Beis HaMedrash. He was concerned that people on Chalamayid are busy learning Torah, and people, and he was a Paisik, and people would ask him shailas, people would talk to him learning the entire day of Chol HaMoed. So the only time he had time on Chol HaMoed to administer his business was at night. And that's why he would prepare everything at night. Tana Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Brayse about Abba Shob and Botnes. Who conished Shloish Meis Gabi Yayim and Brurei Midas? Because he had all this wine, and he was very careful that he should always not cheat anybody. And he had from the foam of the wine that he calculated that he had all this extra wine that really didn't belong to him, that belonged to different customers. So what he did was that he gave all those, he gave all of that, he was ready to give all of that away because it didn't belong to him. So the Mechus Shlomo asks a question. We just learned in our Mishnah that Abba Shob ben Batnes was an individual who was so careful. So if he was so careful to always make sure that the customer got everything he was supposed to get, how did this ever happen? So he says that this might have happened before Abba Shob ben Batnes was careful. And since it was before he was careful, this accumulated. The Shita says that there were customers that were coming to the store, and the customers were in a rush, and they would say, just fill it up, and I'm not going to wait until the phone subsides. So even though the customer clearly said it doesn't bother him, and the customer was Michael, Abba Shob ben Batnes did not want to keep something that did not really belong to him. So that's why he calculated that he had these 300 barrels of wine. The Chav, the Kansas Shalosh Kaber Shemin, and the same, he accumulated 300 barrels of oil, Mamitzi Amidus, as we explained. There was oil that stuck to the walls of the Keli, and they don't come out that quickly. And he again calculated that he had this that didn't belong to him. He brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, to give to the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash. Omlem, yatim zukukim lakach. You don't have to do that, because what you're keeping is not gezel. And as the way we explained, it's beautiful, because the customers were meichel, the way we just explained. And since the customers were meichel, you don't have to worry. It's not gezel. So the question is, how could he, if he felt that it didn't belong to him, so how could he give it to the Gizbarim? The Gizbarim don't have any right to take something from somebody who it doesn't belong to. So the Mashah says that here we already had Yiyush, the owners of these products were Miyash, and we also have Rishini Rishus, that it went from the Rishus of Abishol ben Botnus to Hegdish, and therefore, under those circumstances, they will rather receive it. But Hegdish says it doesn't belong to him. Amalahem, but Rabbi Shaul said to them, we don't want to have something that doesn't belong to us. Amalahem, so the Chachamim told them, you're being so strict that even though you know that halachically you're allowed to keep it, but you're being machmar itself that you don't want to keep something that maybe looks like Zayla. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that they were concerned that maybe the owners of these leftover wine or leftover oil were really not Meichel. So if you want to be Machmer, giving it to Hegdish is not the solution. The solution is to do them a Semehem Tzarchi Rabbim. The Aloch is, the Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Gozel. If you stole something and you don't know from whom you stole it, yasmem tzarchi rabim. Do something for the public benefit. Amar v'chizd, mind you, what is an example of doing something for public benefit? Amar v'chizd, the bar is sichr maimus. So, since they stole from they felt they don't belong, it doesn't belong to them. So the Gemara is teaching us that you should do tzarchi rabim. And I saw that the Mechush Shlaimus says that this halacha of doing tzarchi rabim is only when you think you took something from many people. If you took something from one individual, tzarchi rabim is not the way to solve the problem. So, as the Ben Yoyada explains, that Rabbi Abishol ben Batnas was being machmer himself. So if he is being machmer himself and he wants to treat this leftover wine, leftover oil, like gezel, so then the right thing to do is treat it like gezel, and it doesn't belong to Hegdish. But there's a fantastic vart that I saw, both the Arvi Nachal and the Aruch HaShulchan says, why do you make Tzarchi Rabim? Why do you give it to Tzarchi Rabim? So they say that Mir HaShemayim, what happens is that if somebody took from somebody something, and he doesn't, and now he doesn't know from whom he took, and he wants to return it, if he makes tzarchi rabim from it, what's going to happen is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make that those people who were cheated will use those tzarchi rabim. And therefore, they're going to get back the benefit from what they lost that belonged to do this. Of course, say the Paiskim, the Sma makes this point. The Sma makes the point that just saying that I'm going to do tzarchi rabim with it is not the proper way to go. Of course, what a person's supposed to do is try to go back and give the back to whom from whom he stole. All these halachas that you could do tzarchi rabim, we could only do something when we have no way of determining who is the person who I stole from. But otherwise, of course, the right thing to do as to give it back to its rightful owner. Ramosha paskins that the right thing to do is to build a mikveh with that type of money. And Ramosha also makes a point that whatever somebody does, whether it's building a mikveh, whatever else, with that money, he has to be very careful not to put his name on it. Of course, many times when somebody donates something, the person who donates it puts his name that this individual is the one that donated this mikveh or whatever else. But that's when somebody took his own money and gave tzedakah, donated it. And we have the famous Tshuvas HaRashba, the Mefarsim Ma'aseh Mitzvah. We publicize people who do a mitzvah. But if you're not giving tzedakah because you're giving tzedakah because you want to give tzedakah, but rather you're giving tzedakah because you felt that you took something that doesn't belong to you, so you don't deserve any credit, and your name should not be put on what you donate. Advei Rav Chisda Amar Ukva. Rav Chisda took Rabbanu Ukva, and they went for a walk. V'darsh, and he taught him, Layim dat adam sarim, a person shouldn't measure barley, v'yitein lefnei behem to b'yontif, and serve it to his animal on yontif. Avakayv u'kayv u'kapayim, he could take a cup that holds a certain amount and fill it up and by putting it into the bag of barley, the nice one play behemtoy, and that gives his animal the ein chayshish, because that isn't the way people measure, and since it's not considered that he measured in the way measuring is done, it's not considered that he did medida. And again, the way I sort of was trying to say, either because it's done with a shidui, or as long as it's not done with an exact measure, it's only done with an approximation, again, that's not considered midi. Hanachtem. If somebody is a chef for many people, he is allowed to measure whatever he's serving, because when you cook, when you're cooking, you have to be very careful to use the right amount of space. Spice. And since you want to use the right amount of space because you're making oichal nefesh, so the halacha is that you could use a measuring cup. The Meiri points out this is strictly for a professional chef. Somebody who's just cooking for himself, the Meiri takes a strict approach, and that's the Pashup Shan of the Gemara, doesn't have to be, has no right to be so particular and can't use a measuring cup. And that's why only the Nachtam could do it. However, there are those that differentiate between somebody who's selling spice. That here is not an issue of cooking. When somebody's cooking, the Rashba says, it doesn't make a difference if you're cooking for your home or you're cooking for many people. Of course, you want the food that you're cooking on Yontif to come out right. And therefore, you can measure the spices to make sure that the right shear. Here we're talking about when you're selling. And when you're selling, there's a difference when you're private and I'm lending some spice or something to a neighbor versus what I'm selling. And if I'm selling and I'm not going to have a cheshbon of what I'm selling, I may take a serious loss. But the Maggid Mishnah paskins that the Gemara speaks about a nachtum, but it's not only a nachtum. It's even a Baal Bais. Anybody who's cooking could use a measuring cup. But the Mishnah Berura makes a very important point. The Mishnah Berura says that this halacha applies that if this person, whenever they cook, they use a measuring cup. So since whenever they cook, they use a measuring cup, so that's part of their cooking process. And that's included, says the Mishnah Berura, in the Het of Oichel Nefesh. But if this individual never uses a measuring cup, and now on Yontif he wants to use a measuring cup, that is not acceptable. Amar Yimri Ba'aba Amar Rav, Medetis Isha Kamech B'Yontif, B'Noisen L'Teich Isasa. A woman can measure the amount of flour she's using when she makes a dough. As we've discussed many times, when you take challah, when you make challah, you have to, when you make a dough, you have to take challah, and you have to take off the precise amount of challah. You have to start with the right amount to be mechuyev challah, and you have to take off the right amount. There's a difference by a private person, 1/24. By a baker, 1/48. That's why you have to, you're allowed to do it. B'Shmuel Amar Asur. And Shmuel says that you're not allowed to do it because, as the Mishnah Berura explains, buy spices, we're more lenient. Because if you put in the wrong amount of spice, the food won't come out right. However, when you're measuring challah, it's not a question of the food coming out right. Moreover, the Paiskim say that this was only in those times. In those times, when they gave the challah to the kohen, and we want to make sure that everything is done 100% properly, you're allowed to measure. But b'zman hazeh, when we just take off a little amount of challah and burn it, so then there is no heter to measure the challah on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, V'tana de Shmuel, that we, didn't we learn in the Brice of Shmuel, that Mutter, that one may measure the challah? Amar Abaye, Hashtad Amar Shmuel Osir. We heard from Shmuel that one may not do so. V'tana de Shmuel, and in the Yeshiva Shmuel, we learned that it's Mutter. Shmuel Allah al Maisa Osir Shminin. Somebody wants to, Shmuel is coming to tell us the Allah al Maisa. And the Allah al Maisa is that one may not measure. When Shmuel said in the Brice that you may, it falls into the category of what we discussed in the previous year. It's in the category of Halacha V'Emayrin Kein. That means technically Shmuel agrees that we are allowed to measure, but Halacha V'Emayrin Kein, we don't tell people that psak, and that halacha is that we should not tell people that they're allowed to measure. We should not publicize that you're allowed to measure unless it's a medidah shel mitzvah, and as I mentioned in previous shur, if you're measuring the matzahs that you or the maror that you eat by the seder, that you're allowed to measure because that's a medidah shel mitzvah. Filtering flour from any impurities is considered oichel nefesh. However, it's the type of oichel nefesh that one may not do on yontif, because as we discussed in previous shur, any oichel nefesh that could have been done before Yontif may not be done on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, ain't shayim akemach b'yontif. We're not allowed to re-sift the flour on Yontif because you could have done it before Yontif. However, says the Gemara, Meshumar Papayis Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Imra, their opinion was shayim that we may repeat it. Because since you're not really accomplishing anything, it was already sifted from before, and therefore it's more lenient. B'shamim, and the Chachamim, even though they're more machmer than Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Pius, agreed that if a pebble or a piece of wood fell into your flour, they hold shinin that you are allowed to sift it out. So Rashi explains that when you sift the flour a second time, then it looks like a real act of sifting, which, as we just explained, sifting should have been done before Yontif, and that's why the Rabbanan hold it's not Asur. However, Rabbi Pius and Yehuda ben Beseira are of the opinion that since it's already pre-sifted, so it's not really accomplishing, there's no tircha, and since it's not any tircha, that's why it's muta. The raw, I saw, has a different pshat. Typically, people only re-sift flour when they're going to bake with that flour. So if you sift it the first time, so when you sift it the first time, you sift a lot of flour, not just the flour that you're about to use. However, the second sifting is only in a situation where you're doing it, where the second sifting is only for what you're going to use immediately, and that's why we could be more lenient. But the Gemara said if a pebble or a piece of wood fell into it, then the halacha is you're allowed to take it out. And the reason you're allowed to take it out is because you're doing it l'tzayach eichel nefesh. You want to be able to use this flour. You don't want any impurities in the flour. And that's why everybody would agree. And it's not something that could have been done before Yontif, because this impurity, this pebble, fell in only on Yontif. So we don't say, well, you could have done it before Yontif. This is not something that could have been done before Yontif. And that's why we could be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Tana Tanaka made Ravina. The Tana was teaching Bryce's in front of Ravina, taught him, ain't shayin akemach b'yontif, we may not re-sift flour on yontif, av nafal tzar akisim, if this impurity fell in, b'yar b'yodai, you could take it out with your hand. According to here, you only could take it out your hand, but you may not use a sifter. And the reason is, it's a shinui, and it's obvious that you're doing it only to take out the impurity. Amalei, so Ravina said to this Talmud Chacham, on the contrary, Koshkein Dasser, if anything, this should be Asser, Davalek Abayrur. As we explained, the definition of Bayrur, or the way Bayrur is done, and Bayrur we know is Ab Malacha, is when you take something out with your hand. So if anything, he said, this should be more Asser than re-sifting it. Darish Rava Barafunas Zuta Piskun and Adah, Shani Kemach B'yontif, we may re-sift flour on Yontif. Amalei, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman told us Tamidim, Pukuv Amrle L'Abba, go tell my colleague Rav Arafuna, Shekule Tavoschev Shekhez Ezri. Take what you think is a good thing and throw it on these thorns. We don't, you, what you said, we don't need what you said. Pukhazi, look and see, Kama Mulasa Hadman Adar. Look how many sifters are open, are used on Yontif. And people know this halacha. You're not telling us something that we don't know. And of course the halacha is that it's mutter. But the Mishnah Berurah paskins that whenever somebody's doing boiru on Yontif, he should do it with a shinui. Says the Gemara, Devisa de Rabbi Yosef, Nala Kemcha, we sifted flour, agave de melusai. She didn't do it on the upper side. She turned the sifter upside down. Ama, lo. So Rabbi Yosef says, Chazada no rifta ma'isabina. I want to eat fine, clean bread. And therefore, don't do the sifting with a shinui that may cause that the sifting will not be done perfectly. You're allowed to sift it in a normal fashion. Devisa de Ravashi, Nala Kemcha agave de psoira. She did it again with a shinui. Amar Rav Ashi, hadidon, batid Rav Mechama, my wife is the daughter of Rav Mechama, Rav Mechama marda of the Hava, and Rav Mechama was very careful with the halacha, v'ilav the chazi b'nei nasha, if she wouldn't have seen from her father's family that they did the re-sifting on Yontif, with a shinui loyava avda, so she must have done this because that's what she learned from her parents. That if you're going to even re-sift flour, you should do it with a shinui. However, the halacha lemaisa is that we are allowed to re-sift flour. The question is, particularly in certain places, people are very careful to sift flour because they're concerned for any infestation in the flour, and the bakeries in those places that have a proper kosher certification, sift the flour. But some people who want to be very careful, the flour that they have at home, they sift with a sifter that is has smaller holes than the sifters that are used in the bakery. From the Mishnah Berurah, it seems that even if we're learning in our Gemara, that you're allowed to re-sift flour on Yontif, that's only, the Mishnah Berurah says, if the size of the holes of the second sifter are equal in size to the first sifter. But I did see that there are many paiskim, the Debrezina Rav, and other paiskim that say, if you agree that la locha, the sifting of the flour in the bakery, that you bought the flour, from the flour mill, was done properly, and you're only re-sifting it because of a chumrah, the fact that your sifter at home has smaller holes doesn't prevent you from being able to use that sifter. Says the Gemara, Haylech Adam Eitzel Chavani. And we continue learning in our Mishnayis, the last Mishnah, how you could do Mekach Mimkar on Yontif, and how not. So says the Mishnah, Haylech Adam Eitzel Chavani HaRogel Atzloi. A person could go to a shopkeeper from whom he frequents business, and that's why that shopkeeper is going to talk to him. Give me a certain amount of eggs, or give me a certain amount of nuts, and the halacha is you could buy from him. And you'll count it, and after Yontif, you'll make a cheshbon. And as the Rishonim point out, why is our Mishnah telling us, the point is to teach us that even though everybody sees me walking to the shopkeeper, and therefore maybe we should be concerned that this represents a zilzul yontif, the halacha is, if it's done with tzarech simchas yontif, and it's done in the proper manner, it may be done. The Rashi says that the question here, Rashi and Tosfos discuss, is there a difference between a Jewish shopkeeper and a non-Jewish shopkeeper? So they say, if it's a non-Jewish shopkeeper, you could go there as well. However, if you go to a non-Jewish shopkeeper, you have to be careful that you're only allowed to buy foods that there's no concern that there was chil yontif by obtaining those foods. That means that you're going to buy fruits and vegetables that you need not be concerned were cut on yontif, or that you don't need to be concerned that they came from Chutz L'Tchum. And I saw that the Sefer Toldos Yaakov explains that the Chiddush of our Mishnah is not only can I go to my neighbor and borrow on Yontif, where it doesn't look like Mekach Memker. The Chiddush is that L'Tzayrech Simchas Yontif, I could even walk into a store. Of course, we have to be very careful that there should be no Chil Yontif involved in doing so. Tarabon. Hoylech Adam Etzel Roya Arogel Atzloi. A person could go to a shepherd who he's familiar with. Give me an animal. Etzel Tabach Harogel Atzloi. Who could go to a butcher who he frequents. Give me a certain cut of meat. Etzel Patim Harogel Atzloi. You could go to a person who sells birds. Give me this bird. Etzel Nachtam Harogel Atzloi. You could go to the baker who he frequents. Give me one loaf of bread or one cake. It's a chanvani harogel atzloi. You could go to the shopkeeper. Vamli tenli asrim beim a chamisha goizim 20 eggs, 5 nuts, asara farskin 10 peaches, v'chamosh remainim 5 pomegranates, vesruk echad vach lo yeskle sam mida. You're allowed to mention a number, but you're not allowed to mention a measurement. Shimon and Loizomer vach lo yeskle schum mechach. You're not allowed to talk about money. Whenever you talk about money, the halacha is that is considered mekach memkar. You could talk about a number, you can't talk about a measurement according to the Tanakama, and him you can't talk about money. Of course, the halacha is we have to always be concerned that the food that we're taking should not be muksa. That means if the food is in a store, for example, that one can't enter the store without being mechal yontif, so we have to assume that all the food in that store, the shopkeeper, when he closes off for Shabbos, when he closes off for Yontif, is maksadas from all that food. And therefore, even though our Mishnah and Gemara were just lenient, we have to always make sure that the food that we're talking about is not in the category of muksa. Hanu lach ein tzadin, hanu lach ein tzadin, hanu lach ein tzadin.